You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Sam Turner. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Jack. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Bit quiet on the racing front this week, but one or two topical stories to get through and some selections which hopefully might be winning.
Yeah, there's quite a few meetings. Going to look at Catterick, Lingfield, Sandown and Yarmouth, one race from each in a bit. But first, I wanted to have a quick look at the news that was making the Racing Post and Tuesday's Racing Post. We spoke about this off air and I'm going to paraphrase you in a way here, but you basically said Mark Johnson's throwing a bit of a grenade in, isn't he?
Yeah. His message to ITV, for those who haven't got the Racing Post, is to drop all betting talk on their output when they take over on January the 1st. And it's quite an astonishing message, really. He draws an analogy between the new Top Gear programme and the old one. In that, obviously, a lot of people turned off the new Top Gear programme because it wasn't a great deal different to the old model. Otherwise, there were different presenters, etc. And he draws that analogy that, you know, that might well happen with racing. Well, it could well happen, but I don't think dropping betting talk and betting chat is going to enhance the programme any way, shape or form. Yes, the horses are the stars, quickly followed by the jockeys and the trainers and the personalities involved. And, you know, I can certainly understand that, and I think we could tone down the betting a little bit on some of these programmes, but I think it's incredibly naive to suggest that people don't watch the racing on a Saturday afternoon. They just watch it just for the nice pictures and the nice colours. You know, they watch it because they've had a bet, you know, and yourself or myself, you know, the first time I got involved in racing was sneaking into a betting shop at the age of 15 and a half, missing French, and following a mate in there and watching a race from York, you know, and having 50p each way, and he happened to win. It was the last winner I backed. But that's the way that, you know, people get hooked on racing. They develop a love of horses, I think, as you go. There's obviously going to be a certain percentage of the audience which will watch it purely for the horses. I fully understand that. That's great. And I'm sure they're catered for. But I think probably 85 to 90% of the audience will watch it because they're going to have a bet.
Yeah, and you say people develop a fondness for the horses as they go along. Now, most people I speak to like particular horses and, you know, are sad when they retire. Because over the years, they've made them a lot of money.
Yes, there is that. And I think, you know, there's a lot of empathy if a horse gets injured. But certainly with the National Hunt stars that have been around the block for 5, 6, 7 years, you know, your Corto stars, Denmans, Masterminders, those sort of big characters and huge colossus in the National Hunt game, those sort of horses that everyone's very fond of. And not so much that they've necessarily won fortunes off them either. They've seen them win big races repeatedly in Corto Stars, you know, just to use him as an example. Turned up at King George Day nearly every year and won a number of them. And, you know, people get very emotional about those sort of superstars. They are equine superstars, but that's not to say that they haven't had their 10 or 20 quid on as well. I just think it's daft to suggest that we should drop all betting talk on a racing programme, because saying that tennis might not centre on the odds when, you know, Andy Murray's playing Milos Raonic in the final, that's fair enough, but they will get mentioned at the head of the show. But tennis doesn't derive its income or its standing from betting. You know, no. Racing does. Racing needs the levy to be working, people to be betting, the turnover to be increased, a good product to be produced so that the money can then get funneled from the bookmakers back into racing. That's the way that the whole mechanism works.
Yeah, and one thing we said as well earlier was, take Grand National Day, for example. The following day, people go into work, or maybe on the Monday. Do you say, did you pick the winner? Or do you say, what a well-run race that was?
Yes, what a beautifully aesthetic afternoon of horses galloping around Liverpool that was. It just doesn't happen, does it? And, you know, people say, oh, who had the office sweepstake winner? Or did you back the winner? 50 to 1, rule the world. Fantastic, well done. You know, you must have won a few quid off that. You know, people, yes, there will be people watching it purely for the spectacle, but a large percentage, and I would say an overwhelming percentage, would be having a bet. I mean, you see that from the figures. I used to work in a betting shop. The amount of bets that you took on Grand National morning were just like off the scale, three or four times bigger than any other Saturday, even a busy Saturday.
I sometimes talk to people who I cannot believe have never had a bet outside of Grand National Day.
No.
Can you imagine the coverage of the Grand National without them once flicking up the odds?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my 96-year-old grandfather, and he's still going. He watches the National. First thing he'll do if I speak to him on the Sunday morning, did you back the winner? Did you tip the winner? Did you back the winner? Did you have the winner of the National? And that's a barometer, really.
Yeah, it's something we could discuss all day, and I'd be happy to, but we have got a time limit on this podcast.
I mean, the good thing is that Mark's brought it into the, you know, opened up the debate. I think it's quite a vociferous debate, and, you know, we're going to have 6 months of this before ITV actually start their product. So
yeah,
it's useful for them, but yeah, at least we can move on now.
Yeah, there'll be people who agree with him, but I imagine the majority of the people will say slightly misguided. But we will wait and see. The debate rages on. Looking at the other headlines then, Limato might be Henry Candy's first ever runner at the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, 71-year-old Henry Candy's had five winners this year, two of which have come in Group 1s. And Limato, obviously a really stylish winner of the Darnley July Cup on Saturday, travelled like a dream through that race. He's going to be really suited by a trip to America. You know, good fast ground, tight track, loads of pace on. That's really going to suit Limato. He's got speed to burn. I think he'd probably take the drop back to 5 furlongs in his stride as well. All class he is. And I think he's going to be a real force to be reckoned with when, if he got the right conditions over in the States. He's in the Breeders' Cup mile. He's an 8-to-1 chance, I think, generally for that. But I just think he's got that much toe and that much speed, this horse. And I think that's the way Henry wants to go. They tried in the lock-in on rain-softened ground to make him into a miler. I've no doubt he would bully some milers and win a lower grade of race. But, you know, why, if you've got such a good sprinter, you know, Alistair Cook's a brilliant opener, so you wouldn't bat him four, would you? Keep him to what he's good at.
Yeah, and that'll be in November, the Breeders' Cup. So Limato going for Henry Candy to the Breeders' Cup. And there's a couple of races, haven't they entered him for, I believe?
Yeah, the Pre-Maurice de Geest, that would suit him as well. I think, was that 6.5 at Deauville? You know, straight track. You usually get some decent summer ground in Deauville by that time in August. So that would be a possible for him. The Haydock Park Sprint as well, but it can often come up soft there. So, you know, whether he'd take that in, I doubt. But, you know, the one thing that it's firmed up is that Limato has trained on, and he's, you know, he's a world-class sprinter. And hopefully we'll get to see that on the USA stage later in the year.
Fingers crossed. We'll wait and see on that one. Another horse that's been in the news today. A small section of the Racing Post, really, for this one. Minding.
She won the Pretty Pori at the Curragh last month, and she's going to have a tilt at the Qatar Nassau Stakes at Goodwood. So that's great, because you know, obviously Goodwood is a real jewel in the crown, really, as regards to the summer racing programme. And to have a star like Minding running in that race will really give that some glamour and some lustre.
Yeah, so we'll wait and see on that one. But it would light up that meeting. I mean, it's already, as you say, a decent meeting that many people look forward to. But that would just give it a little more interest, wouldn't
it? Yeah, and the Gurkha might go for the Sussex Stakes as well. So that'll be terrific to see him back at a mile. See if that explosive speed that we saw in Deauville can be played out again at Goodwood.
Yeah, so loads to look forward to then. That's what was making the news on Tuesday. Let's have a look at some of the races on Wednesday then. There are meetings, as I said, including Catterick and Lingfield and Sandown and Yarmouth, a couple of Irish meetings as well. We're going to start at Lingfield then. The 3 o'clock is a Class 3 race over the 7 furlongs. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, it's the Paul Kellaway Memorial Classified Stakes, run in the name of, you know, and as memorial to Paul Kellaway, the terrific trainer, and his daughter Gay has a runner here in Yeah Baby Yeah. But I just wonder if William Haggis, who won it last year with Mufra, could win it again with Afjan, the horse that we haven't seen for 8 months, to be honest, since he was quite impressive and winning on the all-weather last time. But he does hold entries into the International Stakes at Ascot over 7 furlongs, and also the mile race, the big mile handicap at Goodwood on the 29th. Now, he's rated 89 at the moment, so I can perceive that he probably needs to win to get into either of those. He was a pretty talented horse on the all-weather last year, clocked a very decent speed figure when winning on his last start at Wolverhampton, and also the prior time at Kempton. So I think he's the starting point for the race. It's a tricky little contest. Gothic Empire was extremely impressive last time out, a couple of weeks ago, for James Fanshawe. Red Box is a horse that I backed at Carlisle. She couldn't quite get that done that day, but she's still got some progression in her. But I think Afghan, the fact that he's been kept in training as a four-year-old, not sold to race elsewhere, you know, Hong Kong et al., I think he's a very, very interesting prospect in this race, given that he's got some lofty entries further down the line.
Yeah, that's the 3 o'clock at Lingfield then. We're going to have a look at Catterick as well. Mm. So that was over the 7 furlongs. Bit of a sprint on our hands here at 5 o'clock in the Margaret and Ted Thompson Memorial Handicap. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, a few usual suspects in this, the likes of Best Trip, Steel River, Michal, Manatee Bay, Meshardel. I think there's a couple of likely improvers, fairly lightly raced horses. Spirit of Zeb is certainly one that deserves to be on the sort of the radar for a race of this nature. He won on fast ground at Hamilton last time. But I'm just going to take a chance with Brock Holes, who's the only three-year-old in the field here for Anne Duffield. Stable's in pretty good form. They've had two or three winners in the last couple of weeks. And this horse really won well with a bit of cut in the ground over 7 furlongs at the track last time. Now, if he can cope with the drop back in Trip here, then Brock Holes should go pretty well, I think, in this Catterick 5 o'clock. There looks plenty of pace on with the likes of Best Trip and one or two other pacemakers in the race, and could set it up for Brock Holes and another winner for Anne Duffield.
Yeah, Brock Holes then, the selection in the 5 o'clock at Catterick. There's a couple of evening cards as well from Sandown and Yarmouth. We'll start with Yarmouth then. This is clearly the best race on the card, and it's a Class 2 race over the 1 mile and 2 furlongs, and it gets underway at 6.45.
Yeah, a tricky little race as well, because there's 3 or 4 that you could envisage winning here. I thought it was quite a good little contest. Nice of you to tell me. Looked like he shaped with a bit of promise last time. New Year's Night makes his reappearance here and has got one or two nice entries. I think he's in the Ebor. Fallen for a Star puts it together, a nice smart performance to win last time out when well backed. And Darshini chased home Banksia at Pontefract last time. So a real warm race of its type. I'm going to take a chance with Spanish Squeeze, who wouldn't want any overnight rain. I think he was pulled out of the John Smith's on Saturday because the ground changed. Always been a horse that's been held in quite high regard by Hugo Palmer, but he's had little training issues, just niggly ones that have stopped him getting on the track as much as connections would have liked. I think he's very much an interesting prospect here. On good, genuine, fast ground over a mile and a quarter, they should be his optimum conditions, and I'll take him to register a victory here.
OK, Spanish Squeeze, then. Let's hope for no overnight rain on the East Coast and see if Spanish Squeeze can get home in the 6.45 at Yarmouth. There's just the 6 races on the card on Wednesday evening. We're going to take a look at the 7.40, which is a handicap over the 1 mile, and it's a Class 3. What about this one?
Yeah, good contest this. You know, any number of unexposed improving horses, 4 3-year-olds line up, and Bastille Day comes here looking for a 4-timer. With the forecast rain, and it's supposed to be absolutely horrendous in the southeast in the next 24 hours, supposed to get some real thunderstorms, etc., that's really going to play to the strengths of Sir Roderick, I think, and I think he could be tough to beat here for Rod Millman. Stable's in great form this year, probably because James, friend of the show, isn't doing much of the training, and he's spending all his time up here working as a lawyer and doing a little bit of TV. So he's staying out of the way, and Rod's getting on with the job, and he's doing a brilliant job as well this year. So Sir Roderick, an improving 3-year-old. Andrea at Zany was absolutely delighted with him when he jumped off him 11 days ago at the track when he won over 7 furlongs. The cut in the ground will be absolutely perfect for him, so if they have a good bit of rain at Sandown, that won't inconvenience him. It might inconvenience one or two of his rivals, and hopefully he can continue on the upward curve.
Okay, Sir Roderick. So I think the message is that for both of those last two races, keep your eye on the forecast, because they're obviously later in the day, and it could all change even from early afternoon onwards.
Well, we know, you know, these heavy downpours that we're having sporadically all throughout the country for about the last, 25 years, they just seem to be, you know, no sign of only stopping and us having a protracted spell of good summer weather. So, yeah, Sandown, if that hits the rain, or if the rain hits Sandown, Sir Roderick would definitely be a decent bet for me in that 7.40, and then 6.45 at Yarmouth. There's supposed to be one or two showers in East Anglia, but whether they'll get to Yarmouth or not is open to question. So he wants good fast ground anyway, Spanish Squeeze.
Yeah, it's tricky enough to get to Yarmouth. So
it is.
let's hope the showers don't.
Yes, quite.
Well, they're the selections from Sam then, and you can follow all of the racing on William Hill Racing Radio, and don't forget you can hear Sam on William Hill Racing Radio as well. Thank you very much for your company.
Cheers. Thanks, Jack. Enjoyed it.
We'll speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.